I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, go-getters. Let Noom Sport Hydration Tablets power up your fun and keep you ready to move. Simply drop, dissolve, and enjoy crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade or lemon lime. With 5 essential electrolytes and crafted with clean, non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients, Noom should be your go-to hydration choice. Because when you're hydrated, you can do more, go further, and recover quicker. Shop now on NoomLife.com and get ready for endless fun, because anything can happen after noon.
Welcome into another episode of Believe in Kentucky, alongside the UK quarterback, courtesy Tom Leach, giving us that highlight. We got Jalen Whitlow here. My name is Vinny Hardy. Aaron Gershon is not with us this evening, but filling in the middle slot for Aaron, we got the UK baseball director of player development, Trevor Fitz. Coach Trev, how you doing, man? Appreciate you hopping on here with us.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Coming in on the off day, well, like you said before, you know, off day in theory.
That's right. That's right. Still got to get scout reports together.
Yeah. 7-1 on this early season. You know, had a couple games at home already and had decent weather too, right, for February.
That's right. Nothing to complain about. Been able to put on short sleeves a couple times. That's great. That's great.
Yeah. So, first of all, if you could tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. I know you Mississippi State, and you know, we're just sorry, not sorry, I guess, about last night. I mean, and the women before that too. Sorry. You know.
Yeah. So originally from Birmingham, Alabama, got lucky enough to play at Mississippi State. Then spent a year at South Alabama as the GA. Went to Mississippi State again as the ops guy for baseball. Spent a couple years at Jacksonville State as the volunteer. Austin Peay is the pitching coach. And then I went to the Tigers, Detroit Tigers, in their high A. I was a pitching coach for them. And then, you know, played for Coach Minge at Mississippi State, and he brought me here. So it's been great. Been blessed.
So, Jalen, you're an Alabama guy, too. I might just step on back and let y'all talk Alabama for a minute.
Montgomery, Alabama's finest. No, I'm just
let's right. go.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Pelham High School from Helena, but Helena didn't have a high school at the time, so I went to Pelham.
Okay. Yeah, I know exactly where that is. Yeah, I went to Prattville High School. Yeah, graduated from Prattville, man. I originally, you know, like I said, originally from Montgomery, I went to Jeff Davis to start.
Yeah.
Ended up at Prattville, man. I know a lot of people you know, the Birmingham area. got a good friend and went to Hoover, got, you know, family members. Yeah. That live in Alabaster. I got former teachers from Prattville High School that now teach at Pelham High. So I, you know, pretty familiar with the area, man.
Yeah. It's
good to have another fellow Alabama.
No doubt.
Now, look, man, both sides of my family came from Alabama to Kentucky.
No, that counts, man.
That counts. Count it.
Yeah, you in, man. You in the game.
Yeah, my dad's from Leeds. So my mom's dad was from Marion down in Perry County. So I mean, you know, I've been to Selma. You know, I'm just saying.
I got a lot of family from Selma and still in Selma.
Trevor, when Jalen said he went and graduated from Prattville High, you went, ooh. So what kind of ooh was that? What did that mean?
That's a big high school. Like a lot of good players and a lot of sports from there. So I played with a guy he was a catcher and went to Shelton State, so I know about Josh Lovelady.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's we graduated the same year.
How about that?
He actually played football. I transferred there my sophomore year, the very end of the sophomore year, right before spring ball, and he played football. I think the year before that, and I think he ended up just being a baseball guy. But yeah, he was, you know, everybody liked Josh, man, good dude.
No question.
Good stuff, man. I'll just step back and let y'all catch up on Bama, man. Sure.
Isn't there a baseball coach named Josh Lovelady somewhere?
Yes. I want to say he was even at Hoover for a stretch. Could be wrong.
It's a college coach whose name, at least he was in college, whose name was Josh Lovelady. He was I don't know if he was at Mississippi State. I don't think he was somewhere in the SEC at some point.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was always funny because I was like, man, I know somebody named Josh. But, yes, yeah.
And, Coach, too, you played at Mississippi State, pitcher, said you got the ball in game one of the College World Series. Talk about that, too, man.
That's right. I shouldn't have. Let's say that because we had a guy that was hurt at the time named Brandon Woodruff, and he's, you know, all-star in the MLB and stuff like that. So it turned into me because I, you know, was available, and I gave the team a chance to win. Ultimately, they gave the ball to me because there was a guy in the bullpen named Chad Jurado who was an All-American and was, like, striking out what seemed like every player that stepped up there. And he hadn't started since he was a freshman. So, like, Fitz isn't going to mess the game up. Let's hand him the ball. We can give Chad after that. So I was like an opener like they do in the MLB now, and it was a blessing. You know, I'm a question for the rest of, you know, Mississippi State history. Who's the first person to start a national championship in any game, in any sport? And I guess you could say that's me, but, you know, it was a cool experience and can't ever take for granted pitching in front of 27,000 people. So it was cool.
So tell us about your stuff. Tell us, you know, your repertoire.
Man, I was such an average. I was an average pitcher. I was smart, but that was average. Like, I basically threw like 75-80% sliders and curveballs, and then mixed a fastball in. So I just tried to place it better than where they could hit it.
Yeah.
Be tougher than them.
And I'm the old head on this podcast as always, but Mississippi State, just, you know, talk about the history there, Look, SEC baseball is every bit as tough and competitive as the football. Some people know it, some don't. But the tradition there at, you know, Mississippi State, you know, Will Clark, Palmeiro, you watch that SEC story about them. And, you know, we got Kentucky guys with ties. You and Coach Minge came from Mississippi State, but Coach Henderson and Coach Cohen left Kentucky and went to Mississippi State. So it's a lot of, you know, ties between the two schools. So just talk about what it was like, the tradition there, playing there, the atmosphere, the stadium, the whole vibe.
Yeah.
Came to y'all.
It was special for sure. you know, my dad went to Mississippi State, just was a student there, and he grew up in Mississippi. So it's kind of just like, I don't want to say bred into me, but a little bit, you know, I was just always paying attention to it. But it's crazy how many connections Kentucky has in Mississippi State. Like Coach Madison was GA at Mississippi State, and then Cohen played there or played at Mississippi State, came here and then went back. And then I got to be under Coach Henderson as the ops guy when he took over as the interim for the 18 season. And of course, Cousy, our recruiting coordinator, Austin Cousineau, was an All-American Team USA guy at the University of Kentucky, and he was our video GA there. So it's kind of crazy all the lines that has started. Of course, our other assistant, Nick Amirati, was my catcher at Mississippi State, and he's on staff here. So it's wild, the back and forth. But, you know, all it taught me basically was just like what it means to live up to a legacy, what it means to live up to the history of a program. And you know, that's what we're trying to do here. Like we've got a lot of goals, and you know, Kentucky's never made it to back-to-back regionals in baseball before. And that was wild to me coming here, because I was like, when I was in school, Kentucky was legit. Like 2012, they were one game away from winning the conference outright. 2014, they had the Golden Spikes winner in A.J. Reed and Cousy on the same team. And I'm like, you're telling me those teams can go to back-to-back regionals? That's crazy. And then Matt May sent me all the stats from the years he has, and I'm like looking at Kentucky records, and I'm like, you're telling me these teams didn't go back to our regionals? It's like 35 wins, 15-15 in the SEC, and don't get in. And I'm like, man, there are some Kentucky teams that has had a lot to gripe about not getting to regionals. So, you know, we're just trying to preach to our guys every day about taking care of business, winning those midweeks that matter, winning those non-conference, and then just taking care of SEC play and doing something special. So.
So, and Jalen, jump in anytime. You got a question too. Don't let me.
No, I was just gonna say AJ Reed was that dude, man. When I was at Kentucky, he was that guy. You know, he was the guy, man. But no, I just think it's funny, you know, that is always ties between people. Sometimes when you meet people, there's always, if you talk long enough, you know, we don't have to talk very long to find a tie, but if you talk long enough, you can find some type of tie between people. But I just think that's always interesting. But my thing is, man, when it comes to baseball, and you can enlighten me because I don't know, but the schedule is always kind of, you know, sticking out to me. Like how do the players in college handle the schedule with classes, with, you know, heavy travel schedules? I mean, you're playing so many games and, you know, X amount of days. How do you guys handle that? How do they handle, you know, staying on their studies at the same time? Because I always ask that question. I remember back when I was a kid, every now and then they used to show, you watch the NCAA basketball tournament, they used to show some of the players like doing schoolwork in the hotel, you know, classroom or whatever. And I used to always wonder, like, how do baseball players do it, man? Because I know how hard it can be, even for a football guy who's not traveling as much. So what do y'all tell those guys? How do y'all, you know, kind of create some balance for them?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just staying on top of it early. Like Michael Stone, he's our guy for academics, and he's on it. He don't mess around. Coach Mangione talks about it all the time. Michael Stone tells a guy that he can't come to practice. It's like, yes, sir, you got it. You run the show. We trust you. And that's, our guys know that from the jump, so they don't mess around. There's not missing class. And you know, if we do have guys that miss class, we have a 6 a.m. and they meet us up there at 6 a.m. They help clean the facility a little bit. A coach meets them up there. We've got some guys that may be doing it tomorrow. So, you know, there's incentives in there to make sure it happens. But, I mean, you know, I think we've had, like, since Coach Mangione's been here, I think we've made a 3.0 in the classroom every single semester. So it's a concentrated effort from everybody. It's a standard. It's an understanding. And with the season, it's just, like I said, starting early and there's an expectation level. Some guys will, instead of taking 18 hours, they'll take 15 or 12 just to make sure they can handle it. But I don't know. It's just what has to happen. You know, we left on Wednesday the last 2 weeks to get down there, and we've had dedicated times to make sure our guys get our studies in, and they've been doing a good job so far. So,
it's culture from the academic standpoint just as much as on the field. It sounds like you gotta implemented that, hey, this is the way it's going to be. If you're going to be part of this team, you got to handle business across the board, right?
No question. And you know, it can even start in high school, because like we're a sport that has partial scholarships. So a lot of times our guys try to pay their extra way with academic money. So, you know, just help getting guys with high GPAs or high ACTs from the jump also helps, so that, you know, for guys that maybe don't have or need a little more help, they don't have to deal with the burden as much. But, you know, it's definitely a culture from the jump. Our guys know what they're getting into when they start here. It's cat's hours the whole time. It's 8 hours of study hall as a freshman, even though you don't think you need it. And then next thing you know, it's like, wow, I'm glad I had that because I was not prepared. You know, so it's a culture from top to bottom for sure.
So I saw you on Twitter. I think you were like prepping a Boston bud or a pork roast or something. What are all the duties of a player development director consist of? Because that's definitely not in between the lines. You know,
our managers are so great. All of them, but one of them catch bullpens. And the guy that doesn't catch bullpens, he runs all the video for us. He's cutting it up like so that we can watch the games like 2 hours after it's over and stuff like that. So I was just sitting there talking to our guy, Jeff, who's over all of them, and he orders everything for us. And I was like, Jeff, I really want to cook for the boys. I want to get something going for y'all. And I was like, I think I'm just going to do a Boston butt. I'm going to wake up early on Saturday morning and cook one. And then I was talking to Coach Roselle, our pitching coach, and he's like, we need to take them out. And I was like, well, actually, I'm cooking for him this week. And he's like, perfect, I'll bring sides. And then former pitcher here, Logan Salo, he's one of our grad managers. He's like, perfect, I'll bring a side too. And the next thing you know, we've got a full course meal for those guys on a Saturday morning. But that was just out of appreciation for how hard those guys were washing our clothes and setting up the field and catching bullpens and everything. But director of player development and all that, I'm just trying to stand in the gap. You know, wherever Coach Roselle needs somebody on the pitching side, I try to do that. For Coach Minge, it's starting the scouting report, getting together their projected lineup so he can just start immediately on defensive positioning stuff. You know, it's just anything they can think of. I've been an ops guy, so I try to help Rock Dowd as much as I can because being an ops guy is horrible. Those guys are underappreciated. Anytime something goes wrong, it's like, Brock, what happened here? Even though it may not even be in his control. So, you know, I just try to help everybody where I can.
Yeah, so just the jack of all trades, right?
trying to be. But, I mean, if boiling it down, like the simplest, I basically run the technology side. I run TrackMan, the portable unit for our pitchers. I set it up on the field every day for the hitters so they know how hard they're hitting the ball and how far and the launch angle and hang time and all kinds of fun stuff that most people don't get to see on TV, unfortunately. I still wish there was like an analytics broadcast where we just show that stuff for what I've turned into a nerd like me so I can see what it's actually happening in the game. But, you know, future.
Yeah, we got into some of those analytics with we had softball coach on here.
Coach Lawson on here.
Yeah, Coach Lawson on here. And we got into some of that stuff. It's amazing how that stuff has grown like in the past 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, whatever it's been. You know, I'm sure it's cool for the players to see that stuff. It's kind of like football, man. We used to get the catapult system.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was always cool after the workout to see, you know, who ran the longest distance after practice or workout, who had the most explosiveness, or who was able to reach top speed the fastest, or who was able to reach the highest speed, you know, whatever that may be. So I'm sure those guys definitely enjoy that, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, it's a game and everybody want to kind of see how do they stack up against, because you get the guys' numbers from majors and they want to see how they stack up against such and such. So that's always cool. I always enjoyed that part of it.
Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely fun. And I wish that NCAA would allow us to have the TrackMan information in game. Because, you know, we want to know if our hitters are making good decisions in the strike zone. We want to know if our pitcher stuff is holding up or whether it's time to make a move. But we can't have that in the dugout yet. Hopefully they'll let us do that soon. Because, you know, I know not everybody has it, but if they made a rule where it's like, all right, if you have TrackMan or something, both teams just have to be able to use it at that place. I feel like the majority of the NCAA baseball schools would be like, yeah, that's good enough for us. As long as we both can have access to the dashboard. But, you know, our guys, we use it every day. We use it every day, and technology is only getting crazier. We've got a machine now that we can basically plug in any opposing pitcher that we want, and it'll feed the pitches. So, like, Nick Amorati, our hitting coach, he'll sit in there, and he's, like, designing the Friday night guy for our guys to hit off of on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday leading into it. It's a crazy, crazy landscape we are in.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
We were talking with Coach Lawson too about the, you know, about the go route, because she was talking about how she said she had been putting the pitches in wrong, and they were looking at her like, what? I said, so you were, I said, you weren't even pitching backwards. You're like pitching upside down. She's like, yeah. And so are you guys doing that as well, and using that?
Kind of? Oh yeah. We've got go route, and we're probably using it a little bit different from them. We're just using it with a runner on second or for night signs. Coach Rozelle is going, I say old school because it's been around for like 5 years, but he's going with the walkie. He's going with the walkie talkie to the catcher. Otherwise it just helps us run a little bit faster. Catcher puts down his sign, pitcher goes. And then with runners on second, instead of worrying about some sign system, we're using the go route, and it's been pretty easy so far.
That's all right. So the other day, UK baseball account tweets out, and, you know, said it with their chest, the best middle infield in the country with Grant Smith and Pete Trey. What is it about the two of them that, what do they bring to the table for you all to feel that way? And we, of course, are happy about that too. But what's so special about the two of them as middle infielders?
Yeah, I think it's both the fact that both of them are shortstops. I mean, Petrie plays second base for us, but he could easily be our shortstop. It's the chemistry they have together, the trust. They're there for each other every single time. You know, Grant's diving up the middle and Petrie's right there to catch the ball off the flip and turn a double play. It's, they're always together. They were in Kuzi's office today hanging out together. It's really just the chemistry and having each other's backs constantly.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And let's see too. When you know, coming off the 5-0 win yesterday over Western, you mentioned those midweeks. And is it hard not to look at it as, whew, this is a break when you look at how tough it is on the weekends? But then, you know, they're like throwing their ace, trying to beat you, and you're not throwing your ace. You know, you're saving your better horses for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So how is it, how difficult is it to kind of maintain that intensity when you sometimes maybe going into it with one hand behind your back because you're saving up and they're going all in?
You know, it's one of those things where if you want to host, you just got to take care of it, because for RPI purposes, those matter. And you can't take a game for granted, because like you said, they're coming in there ready to beat us, because, you know, their social media will go crazy, whether it's whether it's WKU, EKU, Moorhead, you know, anybody. When they beat SEC schools, it's a big deal. You know, when I was at Austin Peay, they beat Vandy a couple years before them, and those guys still talked about that win like 3 years later. So, like, it's like, okay, like, the challenge that that we give our guys for those games is we have to be more excited than they are. If we show up more excited than they are, then we're in a good place. So what was cool about yesterday is we had, I think, 8 pitchers, and 6 of them, it was their first or second outing for UK. So it was pretty cool to see them get out there and have success. And, you know, Coach Rozelle does a good job of putting those guys in a good position to have success. So it's just for them to execute at that point.
Yeah. And you mentioned the more. Oh, go ahead, Jalen.
No, you got
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, go-getters. Let Noom Sport Hydration Tablets power up your fun and keep you ready to move. Simply drop, dissolve, and enjoy crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade or lemon lime. With 5 essential electrolytes and crafted with clean, non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients, Noom should be your go-to hydration choice. Because when you're hydrated, you can do more, go further, and recover quicker. Shop now on noonlife.com and get ready for endless fun, because anything can happen after noon.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clear skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clear skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
You mentioned Moorhead, you know, home opener, you know, midweek again. To me, look, I'm not as in-depth and nerdy as you, but it seemed like it was one of those games where nothing was going right, and the harder y'all tried, it's like there were errors and everything they were doing was working. They would get aggressive or, you know, try to steal second, then it's an error, and then you end up getting a run. We had the, you know, fly ball, throw them out at the plate, double play that ended a chance to get runs. Had bases loaded, nobody out, didn't get any runs. And then their pitcher, like, shuts, retires 10 or 11 straight. So it was like, are we ever going to get it going? And so when you're in that situation, how do you just keep fighting? Because you eventually bust it out and get 7 runs and beat them. But for those first few innings where, like, nothing was going right, what's the mindset to keep fighting and plugging?
You know, it's just – that's baseball. That's – you got to play all 9 just like every other sport. You got to play to the final minute. So, for us, it was like we know what we can do on offense in terms of, you know, we're not hitting like we want to. We know how to score. So, whether it's HBPs and then stolen bases or walks and stolen bases or just forcing the defense to make a play, you know, that's what – we knew it was going to happen eventually. We just had to keep fighting. And, you know, on the defensive side, a guy makes an error, it happens. That's baseball. Just like you miss tackles or you miss a shot, like you just got to keep going. And credit to Moorhead. They did a good job. Like, our third baseman was struggling. They throw a bunt down trying to make him to mess up another play. And
yeah,
we just had to keep figuring out ways to play around it. And we got a new guy in there, and he was able to execute. And, you know, the other third baseman will get a chance again soon. It's just – that's just how it goes.
Since it's so early in the season, was that something where you know what you have, but yet you haven't seen it in game situations where you're like, okay, we can really get a good look at some adversity against a, you know, underdog? Is that something to build on going forward, or am I reading too much into that? It's such a long season.
You know, for the coaching staff, it's a good thing to see, but for the players, they're just like, oh, we had it the whole time. And that, you know, that's how you want them to be. You definitely want them to be confident and know they had it the whole time. But for the coaching staff, it's definitely a thought where you're like, okay, I'm glad to see our guys, you know, struggled and still figured out a chance to win. You know, we're able to look back at these games and say, we had a chance here to blow it open. I had a chance here. We may have gotten lucky here, but we executed and, you know, structure, you know, practice around that in terms of challenging them in different areas. Like, you know, in practice, we can roll ground balls to third base and on the clock and put them on a team challenge. We start every practice off with a team challenge. That could be a team challenge for us so that the pressure's there and see how the guys respond. So.
Yeah, man, being a former quarterback and whatnot, I always wonder how at this level, how do you all deal with, you know, pitchers' arms as far as the amount that they're throwing every week? What's that like in a normal, just an average week during the season? You know, what's that like for a pitcher? Is he throwing every day, throwing bullpens every day? Is he taking 2 days off in a week? Is it just by, you know, is it kind of based on that person specifically? How do y'all handle that?
Yeah, it's yes to everything. Because, you know, they all got different roles. So our relievers, it's, you know, they're throwing one day and then they may pitch one day and the next day they take completely off, no throws. And then they could be back on the mound the day after that. For our starters, it's much more regimented. It's they got a start day. The next day they run and they play light catch. Then it's a then it's a day off and then long toss and then bullpen, then day off and then light catch and then pitch again. Coach Rozelle does a great job of stretching all that for the guys. And then our players have a little bit of wiggle room within that to say, like, hey, you know, my arm's hanging a little bit. I don't want to really throw a bullpen today, so they'll just play catch instead. Or, you know, hey, I'd rather play catch this day and take the next day off. So they have the ability to go in there and say, I'd like to structure it this way. But he puts together a really good plan for him, and our guys have responded well. And on top of that, we have this great – we have more great technology called the Arm Care app, and they do this shoulder testing every week. And we get scores based off of that, and we can read them as the season goes. So, you know, if a guy's score continually is down, we can give them a week off, or we can, you know, take off from their throwing to help them respond better. I know they started using it for like five or six guys last week, and that's how Darren Williams was able to really finish strong down the stretch, because they kind of lightened up several of his outings weeks before, you know, the SEC tournament and the regional, and he was able to finish really strong. So it's been good.
Wow. Oh yeah, I just always wondered that. And even to take a step further, like when it comes to, you know, arm care, you know, in the weight room or with the trainers or whatnot, you know, I'm sure this is specific to every person as well, but just generally, or you can go by how you kind of handled it when you were playing. Like what was your routine when it comes to band work and, you know, cupping or just getting stretched or getting massaged? Like, how did you all, you know, what was your method to take care of your arm, make sure you feel the best every time you get out?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's definitely different for everyone. But, you know, in my personal opinion, this is like the lame, not college answer, but it is like the best two things for your recovery is sleep and water. And as we both know, for college athletes, you know, at times they're not going to want to sleep because it's video games or anything else. And with water, it's like that's the lame thing. They want to drink anything else but water, whether it's, you know, energy drinks or anything else. It's like stay on top of it. But, you know, our guys are doing bands every day. We're doing a lot of weighted ball stuff. What we've come to find out is, you know, through a lot of different research in baseball, is like 5 ounces is not the be all end all. So throwing heavier implements and lighter implements really helps the arm be strong. So we have our guys do that a lot. We have a lot of reverse throws. We do a lot of back exercises to help protect the decel muscles, because your arm's only going to be able to go as fast forward as it can slow down. So we have a lot of, you know, it's evolved over time. I remember when I was in high school, it was just J-bands. When I got into college, it was just J-bands. And then it was like the year after I graduated, like 2016, next thing you know, everybody's throwing weighted balls like crazy. And I was like, I got to learn this as quick as possible. And now, like, it seems like everybody on the staff is doing some kind of weighted ball. And then it's not like we require it. It's just what they've grown up doing at this point. So we've got to stay on top of them, make sure their mechanics are right. Because, I mean, you know, like if you picked up a heavier football and you're throwing it different than you would throw a normal football, like it's either going to create bad habits or it's going to create stress on your arm that you don't need. Right. So we just try to stay on top of it as much as possible. We actually have a choice day every week, and a lot of our guys actually choose to throw the football, which is funny. You'll start seeing routes every once in a while and stuff. So.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy.
It's funny. I was just the other day I saw a kid who was at the field. He big kid, you know, I could tell that he was either quarterback or a pitcher, and he was throwing the hell out of a football. And I asked him, I was like, where do you play quarterback? And his dad was like, oh yeah, he pitches. And he told me that pitched some high school kid. And he was throwing football better than, you know, 99.9% of the high school kids I've ever seen. So you know, he was breaking down to me, like, you know, and I see a lot of those guys at the field. And even some of the outfielder guys, you know, they like to toss around the football.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I stopped playing baseball in ninth grade. So back then, this is 2008 or whatnot. So,
yeah,
we weren't doing any of that stuff. You know, we had a coach who was kind of, you know, into the band work and whatnot. And, you know, we were hitting, you know, basketballs, just trying to develop power as a young kid. But, you know, we weren't, you know, it wasn't that deep. And I've been out of the baseball thing for so long. I always was, you know, just curious, man, like how do those guys take care of it? Because there's, you know, obviously the season is long. You're playing a lot of games. And, you know, I've been in times in football season where my arm felt like it was about to fall off. So I could only imagine, you know, a pitcher, you know, at that level. So just curious.
Yeah, it's and the weight of all stuff is crazy because, like, of course, I follow the accounts that make them. And they'll start tweeting out when the NFL guys have their weight of balls on the sideline, getting them loose and stuff. Like, they'll show Patrick Mahomes using them. They'll show Bryce Young using
Bryce
it.
Young, yep.
And I'm like, this is crazy how it translates. But, you know, anything to protect the arm, and people are going to give it a shot. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a thought, too. I better come back to it. But, you being, you know, kind of Jalen's age, y'all about the same age, a little bit, you know, NIL is a little bit after y'all. You know, you guys are done by the time it comes around. So, you know, indulge me, Coach, if you know, you were, you know, doing NIL. I just had a couple hit me, but your last name being Fitz. I'm like, because you, we could have, you know, Fitz, Trevor's Fitz. away from the diamond, what kind of, if you had a clothing line, what kind of fashion would you have, you know, with the Trevor Fitz NIL line?
I've thought about this. My NIL stuff would have been about my beard. Okay, so when I got to Mississippi State, it was Yankee style. It's mustaches only. It's no facial hair. It's, you know, clean cut. And then Coach Cohen's rule was, if you want something changed, you have to bring it forth for a PowerPoint. And I was like, well, I was going to do it as the Christmas gag gift exchange and do it in front of the whole team and surprise them. And Coach Minge found out, and he's like, hey, don't do it that way. Don't surprise them. So then I do it for real. I go in there and I do it, and I make this whole PowerPoint. You can find it if you Google Trevor Fitz PowerPoint. But basically it's like, why will having beards take Mississippi State to the College World Series? And I, like, Photoshopped beards onto the coaches and all kinds of, like, funny stuff. And so Cohen comes back and he's like, all right, y'all can have beards as long as you win the weekend. So then I became, like, some beard guy out of nowhere. And we went to the College World Series. We played for the national championship. And so, like, my NIL stuff would have been all about the beards. Like, we get to Omaha, and my NIL, my name, image, and likeness is basically literally being ripped because people are doing shirts with beards and, like, Mississippi State beard, and it's like, it's not my face, but it's like, it's Mississippi State hat with the beard, and that's kind of my thing at the moment. Like, they're ripping it, and good for them, you know, make all the money you can. But now that we have NIL stuff, I'm like, I could have definitely had, like, some beard oil going, or at least some shirts.
Exactly. Man, and you, I mean, I have to Google that PowerPoint when I get done now, man. I gotta
it's the most basic PowerPoint of all time, but you know, when your team does what we could have done, and you have a PowerPoint like that, it all goes crazy. So
y'all got Kennesaw State coming up next. What are y'all expecting from them based off of, you know, the research and looking into them and what kind of squad they got? What kind of game we expecting from them?
Well, you know, not a lot of people outside of the program understand our schedule at times, but you know, Coach Minge and Brock did a lot of research and tried to figure out why we were missing regionals when we had good years. Like, what's the deal? And it was all about this RPI. So they made this schedule based off of it, and that's why we started off at USC Upstate. That's why we went to Carbach. That's why we've got all these, like, different midweeks that you're like, it doesn't really make sense. Why are we playing on the road so much? We're an SEC school. We should have more people in town. But, I mean, just simply put, the wins – mean more on the road. They're worth more points at the end of it, so we have to play these good teams. So our players are starting to understand, like, there's no cupcakes on the schedule. There's a lot of good teams that we're going to play, and we're going to do our best to win, and that's going to put us in a better position at the end to make a regional. So, you know, when you look at whoever it is on the schedule, whether it's Kennesaw State, whether it's Lipscomb or EKU, these are schools that have had a lot of success in the last 5 years. So in theory, they're going to have success again this year. So our guys know we better show up ready to play. So, you know, that's kind of what goes into it. You know, we'll start doing our scouting reports and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, we know this is a very successful program. And so we better bring our A game to be ready for them.
Makes sense. So, you know, we talked at the beginning, you know, all the Kentucky teams that hadn't made back-to-back regionals, and you're well aware of the history of the program. So why is Kentucky in a position to kind of change that this year? And, you know, based on going to a regional last year, why are they poised to now back-to-back and kind of keep it rolling this time around?
You know, I think it's a lot of different things. I think it's the way that our roster's built. We've done a really good job of mixing freshmen and transfer portal guys. And in this day and age, you can't live on too far of either side. You can't go only freshman route. You can't only go portal route, in my opinion. And I feel like we've done a good job mixing. And I think it also has a lot to do, again, just going back to it with our schedule structure, you know, making sure we're playing those good teams that are going to take us there. And then I think it's our players. You know, they understand what it takes to get there. They understand every step it takes. And, you know, it's not taking anything for granted. And it's just getting after it on a daily basis. I think that our coaches have done a good job instilling that. And, you know, Salo and Kuzi were played in an era where they should have made some back-to-back regionals. When you look at their schedules, you look at their records and their SEC records, it's like, man, they really got the short end of the stick, and they speak on that all the time. They talk about how important those midweek wins are, because when they were in school, you know, they kind of took it for granted, or they didn't take it as seriously as they should because they just thought they could show up and beat them. And they probably should have, but, you know, that's how you get beat, when you show up and you're not completely 100% in the game. So I think we've just got a lot of experience of, you know, Ryan Hagenow and Devin Burks. You know, they've been on those teams that struggled, and they've been on the team that went to a super regional, and they don't want to go back to the struggle. You know, being that super regional team is a lot more fun than being the team that misses the regional. So, you know, we've just got that good mix of guys who know what it's like, and we've got a lot of guys from the transfer portal that are consistent regional guys, like Don Nyman from Central Connecticut State went to a regional 2 or 3 years in a row. Cam O'Brien went to 2 or 3 regionals with Campbell. So we've got a lot of guys who have that experience, and we got guys that they want more. They want more of that experience. So I think it's a good mix of a lot of different things that are going to help propel us to continue to have success.
Who was your favorite player or players growing up in Birmingham?
Birmingham's that crazy area for baseball. Well, really for all professional sports, because like, we could pick whoever we wanted. You know, I didn't want to be a Braves fan because everybody's a Braves fan, and that was lame to me. But my favorite pitcher was Nolan Ryan. And then, like, I loved Barry Bonds, and I still do. I'm like, Barry Lamar Bonds deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. Maybe a hot take. But it's like, we already know there's other people in the Hall of Fame that have taken steroids, whether admitted or not. So it's like, just let Barry, let Roger, let Palmeiro, let these guys in, because when they were taken, it wasn't illegal. Like, it may be frowned upon now, but it wasn't illegal at the time. Like, let's just let him in. But so, yeah, I love Nolan Ryan just for, you know, he buzzes the tower on the guy and then beats him up when he charges the mound and striking everybody out. And then Barry, because, like, what are you going to do? He's, like, most intentionally walked player of all time. I mean, he was incredible hitter.
Yeah. Definitely. I'm going to steal your question, Jalen, when Coach Lawson was on here, you know, with the schedule, and, you know, they play 50 some odd games just like you guys do. Jalen, you asked Coach Lawson, how do y'all find balance when, you know, you got to grind, but how do you find balance on the off day or on a road trip and all that to kind of just mix in some lightheartedness or some little fun or whatever. How do y'all approach it?
Yeah, I think our guys ultimately do a great job of it. We don't have to worry about it too much because they understand, like, in those times in the stretch line, like, you can be serious, but you can kind of joke around. And our guys, they love it. I mean, I remember in the fall, we're a little bit different in the fall. We practice in the mornings, kind of spring training style. And I'd go in the locker room at like 1. You know, we're 3 hours post-practice, and I'm like, what are y'all still doing here? And he's like, what else are we going to do? We're hanging out. And I'm like, let's go. That's awesome. So I think it's a lot to do with, like, just our guys want to be around each other. And, you know, when you're doing stuff you love, you don't have to worry about making it fun too much just because it already is. And our guys will clown on each other whenever they can. So we're doing a drill and somebody messes up, you know, there's a serious moment of getting it right. But then after they come off the field, everybody starts cracking on them. So it stays plenty fun. But, you know, the key is to find ways to make sure we're not getting too much out of them. Because, you know, it's not like football and basketball in terms of the physicality or the running up and down the field. But you know, our guys are still on their feet for 3+ hours on game day, and that'll zap you regardless of if you're on the field or not. Like, I remember the first week, and I was like, my back is killing me, and I'm literally standing in the dugout. So it's just one of those things of trying to find ways to either get them off their feet or make sure they're not, you know, standing around too much but not taking out too much of them when they're moving around.
That old Mickey Mantle line, this ain't football. We do this every day, you know?
That's right.
No disrespect, Jalen. We know, you know, no disrespect. But.
Hey, man, here's what it is. No, I always, even as a kid, man, growing up playing baseball, I was like, man, this is more physically taxing than it seems. Like,
yep.
You know, especially when you know, growing up as a kid, you playing that, whether it's in April in Alabama or May. We really didn't play too much in May, but April, that's just travel ball, but or All-Stars. Yeah. But, you know, you had to play, you know, 3 games in one day. And you know, even as an eighth grader, you're like, man, this is, you know, I play football, play basketball. You're like, I shouldn't be this tired, man. truthfully, how many ground balls are you really getting in sixth or seventh grade? You know, and you like, after the end of the day, you play a couple of games, you like feel your legs kind of tired at one point. So I know how it is. I mean, people say the same thing about.
Listen up, people. Over the years, I've learned how important hydration is in my workouts and everyday life. It's the key to helping my body move, recover, and just have a good time when I'm exercising and staying active. Things go even better when I'm well hydrated before I even start moving. Noon Hydration doesn't want you to wait to hydrate. They want you to start hydrated. Noon Sport Hydration Tablets hydrate better than water alone. Just drop them in your water, dissolve, and enjoy. They contain 5 essential electrolytes and come in crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade, lemon lime, and many more. They also have non-GMO vegan and gluten-free ingredients and only 1 gram of sugar. Noon hydrates you so you can do more, go further, and recover faster. And that means you can have a heck of a lot more fun. Since hydrated humans have the most fun, head over to shop now on noonlife.com and pick some up today so you're ready for anything. Because anything can happen after noon.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Golf is exhausting. Yep. You know, you may swing a golf club, you know, 30 times in a day, maybe, but you're exhausted at the end of the day, you know, because it's just a lot of walking and standing on your feet. So I get it, man. You know, I trust me. I know.
Last thing, Coach, man, let you go. You can go as a player, as a coach, wherever you want to take it. But the greatest play you've seen that happened for you of your team, and the greatest play that tip your cap that went against you that someone has made, you know, for the other side.
The first one that comes to my head of when I was playing was we were in the regional in 13. I was Mississippi State, and you know, and I don't know, I'm sure it is in every other sport, but in baseball we practice these plays all the time that you think are never going to show up. You know, you've got like 5 bun defenses and you're like, oh, come on, we're gonna run regular every time. Well, we're in the regional, and Cohen puts on a crash play. So the pitcher comes set, first and third crash. They leave early. Pitcher throws a strike. Our first baseman fields the ball, throws it to third, where our shortstop is standing, who catches the ball, throws it across the infield to first for a double play in the regional. And, like, I didn't think it was that big of a deal because we practice it every day. Like, oh, it's great. When I leave, I go to South Alabama a couple seasons later, and our pitching coach was like, that double play in the regional was the best play I've ever seen in my life. And I was like, I mean, we practice it all the time. I don't know what to tell you. Like, it was kind of an average play. But, like, looking back at the situation and everything, like, I mean, we just went out there and executed. But, like, it was one of those plays like, wow, that it really did, it changed the game. You know, it ruined everything on their side. It was a double play ending and all that. And then on the other side of it, Cohen was calling hit and runs with runners on first and second. And back-to-back weeks, we hit a line drive, and they turned triple plays on us back-to-back weeks. And that's like, I mean, it didn't change the season, but it was one of those ones where it's like, dang, you don't see a triple play very often. We just hit into two in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, too deflating, man, I guess.
It is. It is.
Well, man, we looking forward to the rest of the season, you know, the resume building portion, and then when you step on into SEC play, where it's you know, every weekend it's a grind. So looking forward to it. Got to get up to Kentucky Proud Park and see y'all, and appreciate you giving us some insight as you know your plan days, the current team now, and the way you guys are approaching the season, and you know looking to stack some regionals back to back. So man, thank you so much for hopping on with us, Trevor.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you, man. Anyway.
Yeah, man. And appreciate the Alabama talk, too, man. Glad y'all got that in.
That's right. Gotta get it in.
Hey, well, yeah, I, one day I'm come up, man. Hopefully get a chance to chop it up with you. Come to a game or something.
Come on. Get out there and throw the football with us.
Hey, man, I would love to do that. Love to do that.
Come on up to Lex, Jay. We've been talking, you know.
We're going to make it happen.
Let's go.
Yeah. That's it, man. Thank you so much, Coach, man. We'll have to get you back on again sometime when you got the time, man.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks again to Kentucky Director of Player Development, Trevor Fitz. Be sure to get out to Kentucky Proud Park and check the Cats out this year. They got another good squad. Going to have another good season. Looking forward to seeing how it plays out. Be sure to also check out the Autograph app. Been talking about that for several episodes and get rewarded for listening to this podcast. The Autograph Phantom app gives you access to all your favorite Kentucky content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Phantom Rewarded and download it for free today using the referral code Believe Kentucky, BLEAV Kentucky. The link and the code are also in the podcast description. Thanks for listening to this episode of Believe in Kentucky on the Believe Podcast Network.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Listen up, people. Over the years, I've learned how important hydration is in my workouts and everyday life. It's the key to helping my body move, recover, and just have a good time when I'm exercising and staying active. Things go even better when I'm well hydrated before I even start moving. Noon Hydration doesn't want you to wait to hydrate. They want you to start hydrated. Noom Sport Hydration Tablets hydrate better than water alone. Just drop them in your water, dissolve, and enjoy. They contain 5 essential electrolytes and come in crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade, lemon lime, and many more. They also have non-GMO vegan and gluten-free ingredients and only 1 gram of sugar. Noom hydrates you so you can do more, go further, and recover faster. And that means you can have a heck of a lot more fun. Since hydrated humans have the most fun, head over to shop now on noonlife.com and pick some up today so you're ready for anything. Because anything can happen after noon.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.